Halloween might be full of fake, scary decorations, which, honestly, guys, I'm so glad that those are being taken down today. But let's be honest, spiritual warfare is real. Truly, honestly, I have felt it, especially when Caleb and I have stepped further into ministry, because the enemy wants to take us down as we partner with God to advance his kingdom. If you are choosing the missional way of life, I can almost guarantee it is going to happen to you too. But there is good news for all of us. Our God has not left us without a defense or without hope. He is so, so good. So join me and my guest, my second only male guest, Nathan Zieber, as we break down spiritual warfare and our place in it. Welcome to the Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life. Surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome, and to my old faithfuls, welcome back. Nathan and I are real-life friends, and now we're even colleagues, and he is also someone I really trust with this topic because of his work and his mission of exposing the darkness. Because there's a lot of information out there that can be misleading, I knew that I wanted to address it in this episode because whether we like it or not, we live in a spiritual world, both the light and the dark. And I also knew that I wanted to have Nathan on because I knew that he would leave us feeling more hopeful about it. Because the truth is, if we have the Holy Spirit and are part of God's family, we are on the winning side. We have the victory. I can't wait for you to listen in on this one and give me your feedback. I think you're going to love it. Spiritual warfare is on the Back to Basics series because it's something that we face on a near daily basis. Nathan and I go into detail on the episode about how we are impacted by spiritual warfare, both on a daily basis, but also on the big scale, that there are people around us who are dealing with some really heavy spiritual warfare, some of it invited and some of it not. Praying against spiritual warfare should be part of our basic missional life. Before we go into the episode, I don't want you to miss out on all that goes on our email list. Every week I send out a Kingdom Quick Tip, sharing a practical tip for your missional life journey, and every month I send out my Faith, Fun, and Finds email with my top book, podcast, and honestly just for fun recommendations. Something fun to make you smile and a faith encouragement. Join our newsletter through the link in our show notes. I would love to see you on that list. All right, let's head into my conversation with my friend Nathan Zieber. Welcome, Nathan, to Faith School. I am really, really excited that you're here because I know your expertise on this particular topic, and so I'm excited for people to hear what you have to share about it. But first and foremost, would you just introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us about what are some of your roles right now and where are you recording from?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, Leah. I got to admit, when I first started seeing you invite people onto your podcast, I'm like, that would be really cool. And so I'm honored and humbled to be here. I'm a pastor at Calvary Community Church in Edmonton. I work part-time with young adults, things like setting up connection events, meetings throughout the week, working with small groups, etc. And the other half of my time is at the church between IT as well as deliverance and spiritual community outreach. And fun little fact and a bit of a flex, I also sit on the board of a private investigations and research company as a former private investigator.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, you're also a husband and
two kids and all of that. Yes.
Yeah. So just for everyone listening who doesn't know this, I know Nathan as an in-person friend because we go to the same church. And I also would like to say that you're the second guy that I've ever had on here. I've only ever had Caleb here before. So
yeah. Pressure's on.
Yeah. That's right. You better deliver. Yeah. All right. So you kind of already touched on, you know, just slightly kind of saying that you are part of a deliverance ministry, but I want you to go into a little bit more as to what your role right now is in regards to spiritual warfare, which is where we're going to land here today on this episode. So what is your role right now with spiritual warfare and how did you get to that point?
Sure. So a large part of my role right now is working with other prayer ministry leaders and volunteers to go out into the community where people are experiencing spiritual warfare and torment and pray with them, train with them, and plug them into a church. We call that part aftercare. And it's especially important to us because we don't just want to go into somebody's home, pray with them, and then leave them on their own.
Yeah, that's right.
We've also been finding ourselves getting asked to run training at more and more churches. So we're beginning to develop a bit of a curriculum, but I'd never seen myself entering into the deliverance ministry realm at all. At one point, I had experienced it in a professional setting when I was in private investigations. And from there, it just kind of snowballed into being asked more and more to consult or to go into people's homes to do what we call cleansings, which is just to drive out what might be demonic, or to even help somebody cope with what they're dealing with in terms of spiritual warfare.
All right. Well, let's go. We're in a back to basics series. And so I want to go right back to the basic of what is spiritual warfare. Some people are going to be like a little weirded out maybe, or they have maybe no idea what we're talking about, or, you know, so let's go back to the beginning. What is spiritual warfare?
Sure. And that's a great question because I feel like you can ask anyone and they'd have a different definition or they'd have no clue at all, like you said. And just a bit of a primer, from my perspective, it seems like most of the evangelical community tends to view spiritual warfare as, you know, extreme, oftentimes demonic torment, shadows, nightmares, manifestations, and all that. And while it can be that, those tend to be on the extreme end of the spectrum and are fairly rare here in North America. In other countries where belief in the supernatural is still relatively prominent, you see quite a bit more of that spiritual warfare going on. But here in the West, we're fairly secularized. So it seems like the enemy likes to appear just beneath the surface. It's almost content with us believing that, you know, there isn't demonic torment at all, disguising itself as day-to-day frustrations with an extra flair. So in terms of spiritual warfare for each of us on a daily basis, we see things like an extra amount of tension and stress between you and your spouse or family members. You know, every couple has disagreements and will always have disagreements, but it seems like in cases of spiritual warfare, there's an unusual amount of arguing or strife. Or it seems to be consecutive fight after fight. On the much more heavy end of the spectrum, there appears to be a sudden onslaught of despairing news, such as loss or trying situations. This could include illness or pain. Sometimes it's an increased temptation towards sin or old patterns of unhealthy coping mechanisms. And this actually reflects Matthew 4 that says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, sometimes it's as simple as attacks on our mental health. And while they can be simple, they can be totally devastating. Character after character in the Bible suffer mental anguish, despair, depression, and these dark nights of the soul. And sometimes it's shame creeping back into our lives or feelings of condemnation. So it can really vary depending on what your history or background or relationships look like.
Well, I think, you know, all of us can probably, you know, pinpoint even something that happened yesterday, you know? So I know that some people might be wondering, well, you know, maybe some of that is just the result of bad choices or just the way the world is around us. Like, how could we differentiate between, okay, this is something like a demonic influence or like a kingdom of darkness versus, well, this is just a consequence or, you know, et cetera.
Or a crappy day, right? Because we all have those, and it's not necessarily, you know, a demon sitting behind every bush. I don't believe that at all. Sometimes mental illness can be an imbalance of hormones in our body, right? It can be helped with medication, and sometimes it can be helped with prayer or a mix of both. And regardless of what the, you know, instigator is, it can be used by God to bring about greater good in our lives. And I do believe it can be used by evil to try and bring about that division and separation too. The difference is, you know, a lot of people see God and the enemy as this yin-yang thing, you know, equal opposite forces, but it's not. Like, the devil is a fallen angel versus God is God. There's no competition. But to go from there, if we believe that there is something greater than ourselves, you know, dimensions beyond our own, a spiritual world that affects our own, then we have to believe that those physics intertwine with our own. And if we believe the Bible, Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. So as believers, as Christians, we have to acknowledge that there is a spiritual war being carried out around us. Mm-hmm. And without trying to sound too dramatic, that war is centered around derailing the plan and purpose from God on our lives.
Right, right. Yeah, I heard recently someone talk about spiritual warfare, and he said it wasn't necessarily wartime, like one army facing another. It's mm-hmm. more sneaky. Like yeah. it's more like, you know, creeping up and hearing a lie or right. something.
Deception
like that.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So then someone might ask, okay, well, like how real is this? You know, I think of people that think, well, maybe this is just like negative energy mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that. And I think most people that are listening are going to acknowledge, okay, there's something out there. I guess my question is just like, how real do you mm-hmm. think that this all is?
Absolutely. And maybe it's just because I've been into, you know, people's homes outside of the church quite a bit, but mm-hmm. these people who have had absolutely sometimes no interest in spirituality, and while they might acknowledge that there could be something out there, they haven't been actively searching, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden they experience something that's completely out of the ordinary. They start experiencing some of the extreme torment, like these really demonic nightmares or manifestations. And so it's very real to them. There's no diagnosable history in terms of mental illness and hallucinations. And so when you kind of eliminate all the other solutions, you kind of have to look at, okay, maybe this is spiritual warfare. Maybe this is just more than bad vibes, right? And it could be described as energy. And I agree with that, but it's so much more than that, because it focuses on our identity and on destroying our identity, right?
Right, right. For sure. Okay. So then how do we know if we are, or if we have invited maybe demonic activity into our lives? I know that there would be some people that would give like a list of like, well, if you've participated in these things, then you have invited something in. What would you say to that?
And this is another question that has differing answers.
Sure.
Sometimes it can be as obvious as people messing with New Age ideology or practices, tools like, you know, tarot cards or mm-hmm. Ouija boards or crystals. And sometimes it could be things like watching extreme horror movies. I mean, I love scary movies, but mm-hmm. there's scary movies. And then there's like, okay, there's something kind of insidious about this plot and the truth behind it, especially when it does involve actual demonic belief systems or theology intertwined into the narrative.
Yeah.
So it's always funny when I look at, and I never share this with the client when we go help them, but you know, clients experiencing torment, and these could be, you know, principalities from eons past, and they've bought a $25 crystal from, you know, the farmer's market to try and ward it off. It's like, you know, how much is that actually going to be effective against something like this? And I'm shocked at how many Christians are actually experimenting with this stuff more and more. When I go into these pagan or cultic or Wiccan communities, they don't mess with Ouija boards at all. Like that's just something that's known not to mess with. And
really?
It's because, you know, so many times people will experiment with them thinking they're talking to a loved one from, you know, beyond our dimension. And then all of a sudden it gets really, really dark very, very quickly. So it can be extreme experimentation. It could be things like sin too, right? It could be hidden sin in a home. There's a difference between, you know, somebody who's accountable, somebody who's honest with what they're struggling with versus something that's hidden. Sometimes it could be things like unforgiveness. It could be things from, you know, decisions from family members before you. It can be all sorts of different things.
Okay. So then that would mean it would be just that much more important for us to find, especially as believers, to find healing with Jesus.
Absolutely.
With some of those things that are maybe a bit more hidden.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why it can't be just us on our own trying to deal with this stuff. Mm. Because oftentimes when we're, you know, zeroed in on what we're experiencing, it can be hard to view it from outside of what we're experiencing. So having those voices, having those mentors, having that community outside of what we're going through, being able to say, well, could it be this? Or you've spoken about this before, that kind of sounds related. And it's important to deal with these things in a community.
Oh, yeah, that's so important. That's so good. So for me, by praying for someone who's a non-believer. So I remember when you did your sermon on this, and maybe I'll try to link it in the show notes. Because the one thing that I didn't realize, and maybe I should have already, but when you're praying for something to leave, then it might bring back more, right? Without there being kind of like a filling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe let's touch on that first. Can you explain that a little bit, Nathan?
Sure, absolutely. I'll even pull up the Bible verse here, but I believe it's Matthew 12 that talks about when you sweep out a place or when you kick something out, it can come back with more, and it could get even worse. And we see that in nature too, right? Mm-hmm. Like the physics of our world says that nature abhors a vacuum. Like it doesn't like an empty space. Any empty space will end up growing. And when it's cleared, it tends to grow even more, right? Mm-hmm. So when we see that in our physical world, a lot of times it can have ties into our spiritual world. So it's a really tricky question to deal with in terms of deliverance ministry, because your heart for the person experiencing torment is, okay, well, I don't want to clear this out. And then they experience something even worse. But we have to remember that God is gracious, right? Yeah. That God is not just cold, or he's not cold and calculating. And that grace really extends beyond us. And so sometimes in situations we've gone into somebody's home and we're like, okay, you know, we don't feel comfortable doing this unless, you know, there's a higher authority in your life, unless you invite something stronger than yourselves. Mm-hmm. But most of the time we might go into somebody's home and say, listen, we're happy to pray through your home. There is a risk of something coming back because we know we're not strong enough ourselves as flesh and blood to fight this.
Right.
If that happens, please come see us again. We want to continue working this through with you. And it really depends on a case-by-case basis.
Mm. Well, thank you for clearing that up. Yeah, I don't know, like I've almost prayed for people when they don't really know what that I've prayed for that. And so I've felt a little bit hesitant to do that ever since. Yeah. That definitely clears it up a little bit for me.
Well, we have to remember God cares way more about these people and their deliverance than we do.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
And while this can happen, and it does happen, we have to trust that God is working in their lives, even without us being physically in their homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. He's for them. He's pursuing them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I want to go kind of a little bit more on the extreme things of things. I know that you talk to and you kind of not work with, but I know that you talk to people that are in these other communities who are involved in, you already mentioned like Wiccan and you know, other communities like that. I mean, first off, that stuff is real. There are people, and maybe there's a lot of us in our Christian bubbles that don't realize this. There are a lot of people that do participate in that sort of thing in our communities.
Yeah.
But of course we want to know, okay, how can I really love these people and show them Jesus? And beyond like what we would normally do, you know, what is your approach to engaging with them and loving them and pointing them to Jesus in some way? What does that look like for you?
Well, absolutely. And it's funny because when most Christians hear, you know, a witch or Wiccan, they think of, you know, the Disney tales where it's somebody at a cauldron. They think of, you know, books or old Christian sermons, but the majority of Wiccans aren't trying to cause malice. They're not out there to curse people. They're trying to connect with nature. And that's what paganism is largely about.
Right.
Now, there is a very small community of these people who do worship Satan and worship the darkness. And those areas can get very violent and scary. But the cool thing is about the majority of these people is that they're searching. They're searching the spiritual realm. They're actually a lot further than people who aren't searching. As backwards as that seems, it's easier to turn around a car driving in the wrong direction than it is to get a car going parked in the right direction.
That's right. Right? Yeah.
So oftentimes this relationship has developed over time. I never expected myself to be in these arenas, but over time they learned that I'm Christian and I'm talking about this stuff. And then they start to ask what the Bible says or what my view is. Mm. And from that, we've seen so many people come forward and say, you know what, I'm discovering that there is just God, that God is the only way. Because they believe in God. They'll use the name of Jesus, which we can even touch on later. Mm-hmm. But they start to narrow it down, or rather the Holy Spirit starts to narrow it down for them. And it's funny because when, you know, a bunch of these people started becoming saved, Pastor OJ, the head pastor of Calvary Community Church, is like, what are you preaching to these people? He's like, we have to be careful as speakers not to manipulate people. And I'm like, I'm talking about ghosts and full moons, and like, I'm not preaching on these platforms. It's simply been the Holy Spirit.
Wow. How did you, I think people are going to wonder, how did you even get involved? And you can even say, I think you kind of, you know, briefly touched on it, that you're going and speaking to them and that sort of thing. How did you even get involved in that at all?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier and kind of bragged about, I was in private investigations. And one of my colleagues, somebody who was a senior director of, well, he was the director of the Justice Department of that time, had talked about these different spiritual community consultants on investigations. And there wasn't talk about whether these, you know, consultants are taken seriously or not. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Mm-hmm. But it led a door to being opened for me to start talking with some of these people as a private investigator and a Christian. Mm-hmm. And some of these people also did, you know, spiritual investigations on the side. As funny as it sounds, they would do things like ghost hunting and haunting investigations and stuff. And so one of them actually asked me to come speak to this group here in Alberta. And so I went in and I prayed. I'm like, okay, is this, you know, do I offer an altar call at the end of this conversation?
Right.
And I just felt this overwhelming sense of no, like that's not the type of talk this is. This is how to view things critically. This is the investigative and scientific method. This isn't a sermon. Right.
Right.
And so after that, I got invited back again. And then again after that. And that third time, I felt specifically I was doing more of a historical talk on mythology and paganism and stuff. And I felt specifically like I was supposed to call out these things as a number of false gods and idols and fallen angels. And I'd come to my team, because I have a team of prayer ministry warriors and intercessors around me, and said, this is what I'm feeling. Part of me is grieving because I'm worried that this is going to sever the relationship with this community. I've known these people for about 4 years now. And so I went in and I shared, and I got nominated Speaker of the Year. And then when COVID hit, they weren't able to have their in-person meetings anymore. And so I felt like I was supposed to offer hosting a podcast for them during this time. And so every other month I would host a podcast about some of these conversations, and we do a Q&A session at the end where people could talk. And that's where I really got to share about my faith and my perspective and my worldview in terms of my Christian belief.
Oh, that's so, I mean, God, won't he do it? Like,
oh yes. Yeah.
It's just so awesome. I love that.
Not
so
something
much
I ever expected to get into.
Oh, 100%. That's amazing. Well, I know some of the things that you have talked about, you know, you again already mentioned that it would surprise us, I think, what a lot of people in that community would know about our God, about Jesus. And so I just love if you would kind of expand on that a little bit.
Sure. And this is something that shocked me as well. Each one of these meetings, and this might be difficult for some people here, but each one of these meetings is opened up by a prayer to gods and goddesses. And I always said, you know, I'm not going to use that prayer when I speak, but I'll sit there and kind of just, you know, doodle or something, will they do it? Or I'll pray, typically. Mm-hmm. But they say gods, goddesses, beings of light. And then at the end of the long prayer, they say in Jesus' name, amen. And these people don't identify as Christians. And so that really surprised me. And then I met their cleansing team. Their team will offer to go into people's homes who are experiencing, you know, spiritual warfare, demonic torment, right. And they'll try and cleanse these homes for the person. And they don't charge. Like, a lot of these people have a genuine heart for the lost and the broken. Mm-hmm. They're just tapping into the wrong source, right?
Right, right.
But I read a number of their cleansing prayers, and I've read over a dozen where they all use the name of Jesus to try and drive out the darkness. And sometimes it works, but I've screenshot, and I shared this with the message you're referring to, but I've screenshot post after post after message after message after text message of people who say, it worked, but it's gotten so much worse since this team has come into my home to cleanse it. Mm. And I think of the sons of Sceva in Acts 19, where, you know, they're going around and they heard Paul using the name of Jesus. So they start to drive out these demons in the name of Jesus. And they finally got to one demon who's like, well, I know who Paul is and I know who Jesus is, but who are you? And this demon ends up turning on them and it gets very violent for them. Right. So there's power in the name of Jesus. The Christian community has acknowledged that for years. And now we see the pagan and Wiccan and New Age community also acknowledges that.
Hmm. I find that so, so interesting. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, obviously it shows that there's power in his name.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I don't understand why. Like, why do you think that that doesn't point them even more towards our faith? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely. A lot of these people believe that there's more than one path up the mountain. There's more than one way to God.
Right, right.
But that crumbles very deeply. And maybe it's different for some of these people, but pretty much every conversation I've had with these people in these groups is I'll say, so what's the hierarchy of, like, gods and goddesses in your belief system? Like, I'm curious. And they can't go beyond their immediate belief system. Like, they don't have this foundation. We know that God is at the top. God is overall. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. But they can't say, you know, there's this overarching being. They can't say this is where you all go. And so it falls apart very quickly when you start talking to them about it. And so that's where they have to go, okay, maybe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe he is the only way to God.
Right, right, for sure. Wow. Okay, so now that we've, I don't know, freaked a few people out, maybe, I don't know. I think we have to ask then, like, what can the enemy and the kingdom of darkness really do against us as believers, those who have the Holy Spirit? I know we talked about a little bit, like, what that day-to-day kind of looks like. Like, I guess, what can the enemy really do against us?
Sure.
You know, beyond a day-to-day and a day-to-day?
Absolutely. So again, if we're talking about the extreme end of the spectrum, I don't believe that believers can be possessed. I don't believe the Holy Spirit will share room with a demonic presence at all.
Okay.
But I do believe yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't see that in any way, shape, or form. I do believe that believers can be oppressed, however, right? The attacks can come from the outside. They can experience things like the extreme manifestations, or they can experience things like generational bondage, or, you know, the extra amount of strife or mental illness, etc. However, the amazing thing is, the hope for us is that it doesn't depend on us. You know, I heard somebody say one time that Christianity is a crutch, and I'm like, it sure is. It's like, but it's so much more than that, because it's not just us limping along in life. It's us also being empowered through the Holy Spirit, being empowered through God's will for us, through his tools for us. So when we start to experience stuff like that, even if it's an argument with your spouse where you noticed it's just, you know, hour after hour, which my wife and I have really had to work at, and we're not the greatest at it so far, but sit down in the middle of it and be like, okay, this doesn't seem normal, or one of us doesn't seem to be acting like ourselves. And we have 100%. To be careful when we say that to our spouse, but pray in the middle of it or take a break. I can't tell you how many times I've gone on a drive just to clear my head and then come back and been able to reconcile. And the difference between taking a break and running away from it is that you do end up coming back together again at the end and being able to say, you know, I'm sorry for my part in it, clarifying things that need to be clarified and letting go of things that need to be let go of. So the hope is that it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God, and God is totally and willing to equip us and to bring those tools into our lives to deal with that demonic oppression.
Yeah, for sure.
Scripture verse is another, scripture memorization is another huge tool. And again, this is something I need to work more at, but, you know, facing these things, being able to quote scripture during the situation can feel just so rejuvenating and life bringing and empowering, right? There's this confidence and assuredness that comes with it. So memorizing scripture that says, God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. So when we experience situations where there isn't peace, we're able to stand firm on the promise that God does give us peace. Right.
I have never been more convinced, as I am right now, that the enemy loves to go after our unity, especially as a couple.
Yeah.
When my husband joined the elder team at the church, that year was horrible. Like, it really was. We felt like we were just, like the enemy was just coming after us on all sides. And there was some extreme things there, but one of the smaller things that we, that kind of went undetected for a while, was that every Tuesday that he had a meeting, we would have a big blowout fight, or I would, or I would be having a really bad day with our son. And there was always something that was trying to distract him from the meeting.
Right.
And man, like, that is something that I was going to ask, like, how do we remain on guard? I mean, those are things that we have to be paying attention to.
Absolutely.
Where is he going to, where is he trying to divide more than we're asking God to unify us? So let's expand on that a little bit. Like, how do I remain on guard? And what do I need to even look for?
Yeah. And that's so relatable, Leah, because when I first became a pastor, which wasn't even that long ago, it was about 3 years ago, I think now, there was a lot of bitterness between Hannah and myself, my wife and myself, because all of a sudden I'm getting phone calls outside of work hours. I'm having to go to all sorts of extra meetings. And there was just this rift between us. And A, I had to learn to prioritize family first. Family should come before ministry. But there also seemed to be, you know, that tension as we approached, you know, nights I was off to Freedom Session to facilitate Freedom Session or lead an alpha group. And I'm ashamed to say how long it took us to recognize that it was always before those events. And even with this spiritual community podcast, one of my fellow podcast hosts for this, Mike Walters, he noted last time we sat down that him and his wife had gotten into huge fights, or they had issues with their newborn twins or their almost 3-year-old daughter right before he was supposed to come and sit down and help with the podcast. And, you know, we had started way too many podcasts without praying beforehand either. That's something we need to get better at, because we noticed that there is a lot more cohesiveness when we do pray and dedicate the night to God. And you mentioned, you know, the division, trying to break up that unity. And I sincerely believe it's because a marriage reflects the image of God. A man and woman together reflects our maker. And the enemy loves to try and distort that, to try and muddy it, to try and destroy it. So in terms of how do we combat that, how to be vigilant against it, I think recognizing patterns is huge, like you talked about. Oh, it seems to always happen before this takes place. Well, what can we do? Should we, you know, fast a meal? Fasting allows us to come before God and say, God, I'm really focusing on this time with you, so that, you know, there's this extra seeking before this stressful time.
Right.
There's you know, doing devotions together as a couple. I can't tell you how much better our weeks tend to be, even when there's difficult things throughout our week, how much better those weeks tend to be if Hannah and I spend, you know, 20 minutes in devotions at least once a week, which sounds so small, but it makes a huge difference. There's personal devotions too, right? Even starting off the morning with a 5-minute devotional can have a huge impact on the rest of our day.
Absolutely. So my next question is actually probably taking us back to more of like talking about demonic activity.
Sure.
But I think I want to make sure that I clarify this before we end, because, you know, I want this to be practical, but I also know that there's probably some things that we need to be wary of or that sort of thing. So when you enter into someone's home and you're doing deliverance ministry, or let's say like any of us enter into somebody's house and we know that there's like something off in there, there's maybe something that feels more evil.
Yeah.
Can any of us just do what you do? Is there a process to this that we should know about? Like, what would you say to someone who is like, I want to help somebody with this. Like what would you say?
You know, it's interesting. I don't have any different authority than the regular believer does. And while my team might be in this more day-to-day than the average person, because we're all called to our work environments and, and et cetera, we all have the authority to go into somebody's home and bring the peace of God with us, to usher in his presence, to leak out the Holy Spirit around us. And that's why it's important for us to be filled all the time too. So when you go into somebody's home, like you said, you can feel, you can sometimes feel this heaviness, or you can feel, you know, something's off. You don't have to let these manifestations take place either. You know, the devil, the enemy loves to draw attention to himself, but even just engaging with the person instead of engaging with whatever may pop up and addressing what the person is feeling, what thoughts are coming to their mind, and then just praying against them one by one. You know, somebody might have, you know, feelings of shame or condemnation. We know that that's not part of the kingdom of God. So saying God brings a spirit of conviction, God brings freedom, going through each area like that one by one. You could go through their spiritual history. You know, have you brought things into your home that could open doors? There's all sorts of things you can do on your own. And I'd be happy to provide some of the some of the questions we go over as a team with the person that kind of helps clarify what they might be experiencing as well.
Oh, we'd love that. I would love that. We'll definitely put that in the show notes once I grab a hold of that. All right. I know I didn't prep you for this one, but I just want us to end on a really hopeful. No. So what kind of hope can we have as believers when we're dealing with spiritual warfare?
So again, the amazing thing is that it doesn't depend on us, right? It's our job to be willing participants, to be willing, you know, servants of God. And no matter how the situation turns out, we know that God can bring good from it, that God can bring fruit from it. So even if you go into somebody's home, they're not willing to accept God, they're not willing to, you know, go that direction, you know that there has been a seed planted. You could begin to pray for that seed. I can't tell you how many stories we've heard where somebody, God has brought somebody into their lives after we've left as a team. And the other amazing thing is you've established a relationship with them too. So it's amazing to see just how much it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on me. It's all on God. And I can trust him for the good to be brought from that. We know the end of the story. We know that God wins in the end and the enemy loses.
Yeah. I think that's really encouraging to know that in the end, that he is the victor. And as part of his family, we get to experience that victory as well. Nathan, thank you so much for diving in on this with us. I think it's something that we know it's out there and we can, you know, kind of maybe have a sermon series or something that's kind of more on the broad side of it. We don't really know what the details really look like. So I definitely wanted to address some of that. And I think that we did that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, there's, thanks, Leah.
Yeah, there's a few questions that we'd just like to wrap things up with. And one of them is, what is a resource that you could recommend to us about this particular topic?
I am shocked at how many even just conservative Christian biblical websites, theological websites cover some of these areas. Like, yeah. What is Wiccanism? What is neo-paganism? What is New Ageism? One of my favorite resources is Got Questions. If you go to Got Questions, it's a Christian site. It's very biblically grounded. And you type in what the topic is you want to look at. Mm-hmm. You can read books. One of them I recommend, and it's more on the charismatic end of the scale, so it might be difficult for people to get into, but it's called Deliverance by Randy Clark. It's a great book for, you know, how to deal with these things without, you know, talking to whatever might come up out of the person if they're possessed, for instance, how to bring God into the situation instead of, you know, you trying to address the darkness and possibly bring more glory to what might be happening.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. Fabulous. Second question is just, what is a spiritual practice or a discipline that you are finding really life-giving right now?
Again, one of them is just devotions with my wife when we're, you know, consistent in doing it.
Yeah.
Another is I'll have like a 2 to 3 minute devotional on my phone that plays while I'm in the shower. And it's just, I shower each morning, so it's huge to notice how much that affects the rest of my day, like I mentioned earlier, just to dedicate that time to God.
Yeah.
Worship music has been key. I've been to a number of homes where they just play worship music 24/7 on a little, you know, radio in the background or a little old phone in the background. And you can almost walk into those rooms and feel like a sense of peace or like something being lifted off of you. I find those things very life-giving.
I love that. My mother-in-law and father-in-law's place, there's always worship music going on there. So
yeah,
it's a guarantee. All right. If you could assign one piece of homework for our faith school listeners, what would it be?
I think you could engage with these people around you. If you've heard somebody talk about spirituality, if you've heard somebody mention that they're Wiccan, because Wiccanism is, it's quite growing exponentially right now in terms of belief, ask them what they believe, right?
Yeah.
You can ask them what they believe without being scared of, you know, you conforming to them. And then that might prompt them to ask you what you believe. And you can share what you believe without being confrontational. You could say, well, from my perspective or from my worldview, I believe this. And it's a way for you to be, like I said, non-confrontational while getting the dialogue going. The other thing is just to research these different areas, read up on them, just see that most people are actually more open to the spiritual realm than people are closed off to the spiritual realm.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I find that like it's interesting because when somebody is really kind of knows what they believe, the conversations that can come from that, even if you are on totally different sides of things, I feel like are such a Holy Spirit led thing, and they or they can be, and there can be such a gift.
Yeah.
It can be such a gift. So just that curiosity is so, so important.
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Anything else that you would want to share with us?
Again, like you said, it is so hopeful to note that it doesn't depend on us, that God is moving in these situations, that we have his authority as ambassadors of Christ to go into these areas, and that, you know, we're called to be friends with these people. We're called to be in relationship with them. And through that relationship, we can really reach out to them. Oftentimes, Pastor OJ has described new believers as babies, and babies are messy and they're loud, and sometimes you're just exhausted and don't want to deal with them anymore. But over time, these belief systems start to change and shift, and you really start to see Christ ministering in their lives.
That's so encouraging. Well, thank you so much, Nathan, for coming on here and joining us on Faith School.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Leah. It's very humbling.
Thank you to Nathan for joining me today on the show. I'm always so honored when my friends really trust me with their stories and with their expertise. It really does mean the world to me, and I know that you are going to be able to take something into your life today. You're going to be able to pray in a different way and really be involved in the battle against the kingdom of darkness. If you have a moment to pray over Nathan and his family, I would really love if you would do that. The work that he does is not necessarily easy, so I want you to pray for their protection and blessing on their ministry as they do this very important work. Thank you again to Nathan for coming on the show. Next episode, we have my friend Johanna Smith from the podcast Girls Talking Life to chat about biblical community, how to cultivate it, and practical tips for gathering. Community is an essential back-to-basic practice that I do not want you to miss out on. I was recently on Johanna's show to talk about missional living and my favorite five. So there might actually be something in that list that you would maybe be shocked about, about me. But we had so much fun on that episode, and so I'm going to link that in the show notes. It really gives a lot of my heart on this podcast as well. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at faithschoolpod on Instagram or on our Facebook group, Faith School. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I-68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.